but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
You know how in the Kentucky Derby, the horses get loaded into the gates? We have to wait, like the horse that is in the one post position goes in, and then two, three, all the way down. Like in the Derby, that sometimes there's 17, 18, 19, 20 horses running. Takes a while. Get the horses into the gates, and then as soon as that last horse is in, the bell rings, and away they go, and they're running. I kind of feel like that sometimes on this show. I need to get going. So I looked at the show sheet today. We got a team of producers who put this show together, and Rob Mullins, the Oregon AD, leading us right off the top of the show. Man, I was all kinds of fired up, yelling and screaming about it, because we're coming out of the gates like it's a derby. Rob Mullins, Oregon AD, joining us right now. How are you, man? How does your day
I'm
start?
I'm doing great, John. My day's great.
Have you ever been to a Kentucky Derby, by the way?
I have. I worked at University of Kentucky for 8 years, so I was right in the middle of the thoroughbred industry and attended a few.
I know walking into that place, you look up at the spires and the big hats, and there's just sort of a feel with the race. And I know even if you're not a horse racing person, being around that crowd and being immersed in it. But when you live there, is it the same, or is it kind of this once a year, oh, man, this town loses its mind?
Well, no, it's really interesting. That's a great question, because when you live there and you're in the middle of that industry, and that is the epicenter of it, you are paying attention to every prep race, the connections to trainers, the connections to breeders. You know, obviously, it's part of the language there. And so you're dialed into who's even the hopeful for the Derby long before you get to that day. And, on that weekend, they call Friday Kentucky's days at the races, because the Friday before the Derby is a big day when a lot of the fillies run. And it's a special day. But it is quite the spectacle the whole weekend.
Do you have to, because you're involved in the athletic department, I'm sure that some of the people who are your donors are also big horse racing people. So do you have to kind of mix it up in that world and go to the Derby and, you know, because you're networking?
No, it's a big part. You know, obviously there's a lot of donors, and obviously when you live there, you get caught up in it, much like you would track and field here in Tracktown, USA. And, you know, the biggest names in the industry are in and around your community, and people who've accomplished a lot and some great leaders. So, yeah, it was fun to learn and be so close to that industry.
All right. You've got, you know, a softball team that's hosting the Super Regionals. Your women's golf team was playing down to the wire. You've got, you know, conference championships in track and field, and your football, obviously. But, you know, it's been a successful year. But what does it feel like to have, you know, Jane Sanders Stadium, you know, rocking tonight as you're hosting a Super Regional?
Yeah, super excited. You know, Missy and the team have done a phenomenal job. We had a great year, as you noted, winning the Big Ten regular season. And, you know, you get the opportunity when you do that to host and to create an atmosphere like we did last weekend and carry us through Sunday night late. Incredible buzz built immediately for this week. We were sold out at the Jane by the middle of the week. So excited to get to tonight.
What did it mean to you to see football players storming the softball field?
Well, you know, there's a lot of football players that attend the softball game, so I see them there regularly and see the energy that they bring. But, you know, that makes us quite proud, right? Obviously, we speak about family. We speak about culture. We like for our student-athletes to get out of their individual team locker room and connect with other student-athletes. That's next level, right? Student-athletes supporting student-athletes and be a part of that family. It was fun to see.
Yeah, because, you know, and I'm guilty of this too, because we get caught up on this show talking about college football a lot because that's where the revenue is, that's where TV is. But then you watch, you know, your women's golf team obviously playing at a high level, your track and field indoor and outdoor teams playing at a high level. You've got your softball team still playing. Mark Wazakowski and the baseball team are going to be really fun and interesting to watch in the next few weeks or maybe month. You've got a bunch of other sports. How do you, as an administrator, show up at all these places? And because part of it is, if you don't show up, they're like, oh, Rob Mullins doesn't care about softball. You've got to show up, don't you?
Yeah, I try to be there as much as I can. You know, sometimes, you know, the times even at home conflict. I'm also trying to be a dad and a husband. And, you know, I've got my youngest son's a senior in high school coming down the stretch of his high school baseball career. So try to do it all. But, yes, being present is extremely important. And I've just, you know, I want to see these young people perform. And so, and when you get an atmosphere like last weekend or tonight, or, you know, seeing what our women's golf team has done 3 out of the last 4 years competing on that big stage. It's fun to see these young people get rewarded for all the work that they've put in. And tonight's going to be a once in a lifetime experience at the Jane.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for a lot of people, 7 o'clock tonight, best of three series against Liberty, and a prize at the end is a trip to the Women's College World Series. What would it mean for Melissa Lombardi's team to get there?
It would be the cherry on top. This team has done amazing things. It's interesting. You know, there's some great leaders and experience, and you know, had these freshmen who really grown throughout the year and contributed. The energy in that dugout, the togetherness. I know you probably see it in the game, but how they support one another, if there's a pitching change, the communication between the student athletes, the connection is pretty deep. It would be a great, all these young women dream of this opportunity to play a super regional at home for the chance to go to OKC. And it's always fun to see young people get to live a dream.
Rob Mullins, Oregon Athletic Director with us. How's your kid doing with this baseball season? How are you and your wife doing facing, another kid going off to college?
Well, as you know, we've talked about, we're going to be empty nesters. So we're trying to figure that out. But we're going to enjoy this last few weeks of high school baseball, because it's sure been a fun ride and it happens fast. So we're taking it all in as best we can. And, reading your column of a couple of weeks ago, we're making sure that we hold the mirror up on ourselves and how we behave at these events too.
Yeah, I know. What do you make of that? Like, you know, I'm watching, you know, how we've been reading and hearing more and more about, you know, schools trying to, you know, stick to their core values while also, you know, you're chasing what everybody else is chasing. So how do you control that as an AD?
Yeah, it's really hard. I mean, because the landscape has shifted for sure. A lot more emphasis is on resources. One of the things that we're very proud of here, and it's been a pillar for us, is we want to provide an exceptional student-athlete experience for all 500 student-athletes and give our 20 sports a chance to compete at a high level. And, you know, as we've seen this deregulation over the last 8 to 10 years, you know, whether we provide Alston to every student athlete, we do our breakfast and lunch meals to every student athlete. We're now heading down a path where at 20.5 million, you know, it's going to be hard to apply something like that across the board. I get it. And, you know, I'm glad student athletes are benefiting from name, image, likeness. But the reality is the majority of our student athletes, this will be the highest level they play. The experience is important. The degree is paramount. And we still need to make sure that we're providing that experience.
I have wondered, not just with you guys, but around the country, how athletic departments will begin to tier their sports. And, you know, you obviously want to invest at the maximum level you can with every sport, but you can't do it when you're carrying the number of sports that, you know, you're carrying and others can't do it. Some hard decisions have to be made. How do you do that? And how do you sort of figure out where the budgets of these programs will be and where you'll go full throttle with revenue sharing and maybe where you'll just kind of pick and choose your spots?
Yeah, it's really difficult. You know, one of the things, we're very fortunate in that we're not going to have to go backwards with any team, right? So the funding is going to stay in place. The question is, and resource allocation has always been one of the most difficult parts of this job, right? Because you want to give everything to everybody, but that's just not reality, particularly when you look at the economics in our asset base. So we're going to have to make strategic investment and strategic allocation, and that starts with football. Football generates 80% of our resources. We have to be successful in football to generate the resources to help fund the other 19 sports. And so then, you know, we'll study the marketplace, the landscape, you know, obviously where we have a rich history and tradition, we want to continue our competitive advantage. And then we're also going to make an investment in the new roster limit scholarship pieces in almost every one of our women's sports to allow them to remain competitive. Because, you know, as you were noting off the top here in the spring, when you look at what women's golf's done, what softball's done, what women's track has done, you know, we want to continue to excel in those sports. So that's a priority for us as well.
Rob Bullen's with us, Oregon AD. House settlement, feels like this thing is Groundhog Day, that, you know, we're waiting and waiting. And where are your eyes? Where's your mind on this settlement? Because I tend to look at, you know, the enforcement arm, and I'm going, hey, is it going to be real enforcement? Will there be real penalties? But as an AD, I think you probably are looking in other directions. Where's your mind on the House settlement?
No, we're looking at similar. I mean, we're obviously doing a lot of scenario planning. You know, the latest is, you know, what's the roster transition going to be look like based on the judges' feedback of desiring some grandfathering to those rosters that are seeing smaller limits than we've had in the past. So we're paying attention to that. We're paying attention to resource allocation. But, you know, just like you, we're very much paying attention to what's this new enforcement entity, what's the structure, what's the process, and then how is this clearinghouse going to work? And, you know, how are we going to manage making sure that our student athletes are educated, submitting their third-party NIL deals to this clearinghouse, and understanding the rules in this new format, in this new structure that are different? You know, we've been unregulated for a few years. So, and this is all happening fast. Today is whatever it is, May 20, whatever. This is supposed to go live July 1st. And we don't have the final set of rules yet. So it's going to be a condensed period of education and implementation.
Is that problematic for you that you're going, all right, it's May 23rd, July 1, we've got to be, you know, we need to be compliant, and we don't even know what the rules are?
Well, yes, it is the short answer, but we are preparing for what we think the rules will be. And, you know, we do have some visibility into what this is, you know, everybody's projecting it to be, but it would be nice to have the final set so that we can get all this up and running in time.
Yeah, I am thinking about how Oregon's athletic department has surged in this era. You are uniquely positioned, and some of this is because you guys prepared for it. Some of it is like just the ecosystem seemed to shift in a way that you guys, you know, you knew how to play in this world, in this space. And I think it's a compliment to, you know, the arms being open and certainly Phil and Penny Knight. But do you support like a ceiling for spending? Because it feels like, you know, we watched a national championship game and all the rumors were out there. It's a $20 million roster. It's a $40 million roster at Texas. It feels like we need a cap of some kind. Otherwise, it's just like, you know, at the NFL with no salary cap.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there is going to be a cap for the revenue share portion. And I think the goal is in this new clearinghouse system, similar to leagues that have salary caps, is that there is the third party so that it is, in fact, true marketing deals, true name, image, likeness. So while it wouldn't be equal, we all would be competing in the same system that does have some guardrails.
Do we need intervention from lawmakers to help with NIL, or do you support that, hey, college athletic departments and this new system can figure it out on its own?
I do think we need some intervention, simply because right now we have, I forget the exact number, 34 or 35 different sets of state laws that have some differentiation. It would be great to have, you know, some real clarity from a federal standpoint on exactly the laws and rules we're playing within, because, you know, everybody wants to be competitive, and some states are willing to be more competitive than others.
Yeah.
You know, all the way down to, you know, we're not going to have income tax on NIL deals. So I do think a federal set of regulations would be helpful.
The college football playoff seeding structure changes. It would have, I think, benefited you guys had it been. Where did you stand on that? And, you know, what input did you give, if any, to the changes in the seeding?
I think the commissioners do a great job. And I think the changes that were announced yesterday were in line with the experience. I think that's a good next step. You know, I think the college football playoff has been a tremendous success at four. Last year was a booming success at 12. And I think, you know, the learnings from that were the adjustments that you saw yesterday, and I think those were the right adjustments.
I kind of think the place to be, if I'm, you know, I'll just spitball, like if you're Boise State or you're the Big 12 champion, you kind of want to be like the 5, 6, 7 seed, and you want to be a conference champion. You get the extra money, and then you get a home game in the opening round. Where are you with the benefit of a home game? Can you help us understand, like, getting a home game versus getting a bye? What is there a financial component to that that is appealing?
Sure, there is. And I mean, it's another, if you're playing at home, it's another benefit to your season ticket holders and to your donors that contribute a lot to your program. And from what we've heard of, you know, our peers who hosted games last night, last year, it was incredible atmospheres. What I would say is it's kind of a double-edged sword too, right? It's, you just want to get at the place that gives your team the best chance to advance the furthest. And, you know, that might be a bye, and that can be debated. But the chance to host those home games creates a pretty special atmosphere.
Yeah, I look forward to that. I think that it will be really special the first time you get to do it. And I think it'll be a nice silver lining for a program that doesn't get a top four seed. You know, there's been a lot in the news about Notre Dame and USC and that rivalry. Where do you stand on the future of the Civil War right now?
You know, the regular season matters overall. And, you know, that game matters to us and to our state and to our fans. You know, we're fortunate that we have that game at Autzen this year. The 2 years after that are a little complicated. We're still continuing to have dialogue with Oregon State. We'd love to make that happen. It is a little complicated for those 2 years, for 26 and 27. We don't have a solution yet, but I do see that game continuing in the future for sure.
Yeah, and I think maybe I'm different than fans on either side. I just think it needs to be played, and I see benefits to both schools. Does it appeal to you guys, not just because I think you'll sell out whoever plays at Autzen, but does it appeal to you to not have to get on a plane to go play that game, or what is the appeal to you?
Well, I mean, the appeal is that, you know, we're, whatever, 40 miles apart, and it matters to our communities, it matters to our state, and there's something fun about playing folks that are in close proximity, where the visiting team fans can come en masse, you know, so that's fun. Not having to pay the cost of another charter is helpful as well. It helps on both sides of the ledger.
All right, you're going to the softball game tonight, or do you have a baseball game tonight? What's the Mullins household? What do you be doing?
We will hunker down and watch the first several innings of Oregon baseball against Nebraska and Omaha, and then we'll head over to the Jane and take in all that atmosphere.
Now, you got a kid at Michigan. Will this high school senior, do we have a college choice made yet, or where are you on that?
Yes, we do. Thank you for asking. He's coming to the University of Oregon.
Oh, you're going to get a home game.
We are going to get a home game. Absolutely. Well, I'm excited.
That's going to be great.
In-state tuition.
That does matter, doesn't it? That does matter.
It does help.
Rob Mullins, Oregon AD with us. All right, I appreciate you popping on. I want to give you guys a congratulations as an athletic department, and I think I speak to more than just you here, but, you know, the fact that you were so competitive in so many different sports, football gets all the attention, but when we start unpacking, you know, indoor and outdoor track and field and softball and the golf, the women's golf team playing at such a high level, and now baseball and softball really continuing play, I say a lot about the emphasis on the other sports.
Well, I appreciate that, John, because those coaches and student athletes and staff do work extremely hard. They're highly competitive. They're proud, and we appreciate all that they put forth, and we do want to celebrate all their accomplishments equally.
All right. Rob Mullins, Oregon AD. Thank you. Have a great weekend. Appreciate you.
Thanks, John. Take care.
All right. All right. There he goes. Good interview. Good intel on the Civil War. Interesting stuff on the House settlement. I also think it'll be a challenge moving forward to kind of tier the sports within the athletic department, particularly with the cap on revenue sharing. What percentage of that revenue sharing do you allocate to football, men's basketball, and then is there anything left over? And, oh, by the way, Title IX still kind of murky in the background. Does Title IX apply to this revenue sharing? Lawsuits will figure that out, but really good stuff. Love that we got the Oregon AD on the show. I think we had Scott Barnes, the Oregon State AD, on a couple weeks ago. And Ann McCoy at Washington State on, and Pat Chun. We got to get the Washington AD Pat Chun back on the show as well. But I'll always try to do those interviews and try to bring these people to you. Coming up, we have the BFT jury at 4 o'clock. I have a lot to say about a whole bunch of things going on. I want you to leave it locked in. You have the Bald-Faced Truth statewide on the BFT Radio Network.